left your spirit here. You told us, I will not leave you as orphans. And Lord, we thank you that you are here, that you are with us, that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would come. Lord, as your word is read, as it's played, as it's sung, as it's declared, Lord, I pray that we would encounter you in your word through your spirit. In Jesus' name. Call to worship. It's taken two verses out of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
shared before the service that Pam Pereira went on to be with Jesus on Tuesday morning, and she very much wanted me to convey a message to you all. She felt like it was a word from the Lord, and this is her message. She said, a message to DuQuoin Methodist Church. We've gone through a rough year of disaffiliation, but now is the time for us to grow. My words are God's words, not mine. I want to thank the congregation for the prayers, the support, the love that you've shown me. God bless you all. And through this journey, I've had so much love, which makes it easier. I know that God is here with me. There is only one pair of footsteps in the sand. God bless you all. Father, we thank you for Pam and, Lord, what she meant to me personally and her love and her kindness, Lord, that she showed to all members of this congregation. And, Lord, we thank you that she's not suffering anymore. Lord, that she is with you. And, Lord, we pray comfort for Nancy, for Bill, for Sis, for Norm and Carol and the whole family. God, that you would just surround them with your peace. Don, Lord, with your comfort, with your love. Lord, we just lift them up before you. And thank you that your word says that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And Lord, I pray that you would come alongside and comfort. Lord, we pray for all of those that are grieving and mourning, those that are on our prayer list, Lord, that just really need to know that you're good and to be reminded. Holy Spirit, just come and comfort all who are grieving, all who are mourning, all who are in pain. We thank you, Lord, for your word that says, blessed, the Lord is close. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Father, we just pray that you'd just be very, very near. And Lord, we pray for every person on our prayer list that needs your healing touch. Father, we pray for Abby and the tendon in her ankle and the pain in her leg and the knee. And we just ask healing on Abby, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we know, we just ask your mercy. I pray, Lord, that there would be no need of surgery. We just lay that before you. But God, we ask healing on Abby and that leg and that ankle. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray it. Father, we pray for all of those that we know and love that are suffering from addictions, that need you, Jesus. As the prodigal, as the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, he was in the pig pen and it says he came to his senses. Lord, we pray for those that are in addiction, the pig pen of addiction, Lord, that they would come to their senses, that you would open their eyes, Lord, and they would come to know you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give wisdom to us as a church as we move forward. God, that you would give us humble hearts. Lord, make us to be a humble people, a people who love you and love one another deeply from the heart. Father, help us to forgive one another and move forward, Lord, in your love and in your unity. We lay that before you, Father. We pray for our nation, Lord, where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And Lord, we ask for mercy in Jesus' name. We pray for the situation in the Middle East. Father, protection of innocent people on all sides, on the Israelis, on the Palestinians. God, have mercy in Jesus' name. We know that judgment begins in your house. And Lord, I pray, again, that we will be a humble people. It says repeatedly in your word that you oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And Lord, that we would be that kind of people. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you're faithful, that you are good, that you are the soon and coming King. And Father, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we offer up our tithes, our gifts, and our because you are worthy. Lord, we thank you for your provision to this church. Lord, we pray you would continue to provide. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And we offer it up to you as worship unto you. And Lord, we thank you for the offering. We thank you for the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the Gloria Patri. Standing if you're able. Our gospel lesson is taken from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. After Gordy reads this, we're going to sing two little choruses, He is Lord, and Through It All. I think you all know that little song, Through It All. And we'll sing each one of those choruses twice, He is Lord, Through It All. But first, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Amen. He is Lord. You may be seated. Last 2 weeks, we've been through some intense scripture, and I want to kind of lighten it up a little bit today. As I was praying about what to do, do we go on through Acts, beginning in verse 4? Do I preach something different? What do I do? I was praying a lot about that this week. And I just couldn't let go of last week, where is God in the heartbreak? And our text was Acts chapter 8. And these new believers that have experienced the power of God. They've experienced depths of Jesus that they thought they knew Jesus, and they did. They knew Jesus when he was on the earth. But now through the Spirit, there has been even more clarity, more power, and the things that Jesus was doing, they're now doing as he said was going to happen. And the church is growing. It has 8,000 people or more. It's multicultural. They have some problems, but they're working through it. And people are being healed, signs and wonders, absolutely beautiful. And then something horrible happens. They kill Stephen. Saul is there. And it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And last week I talked to you about where's God in the heartbreak. And we reviewed, we looked at some of the people that had endured very hard things. We looked at Joseph, how his brothers threw him in a well. He's sold into slavery. And yet how God redeemed that situation. It wasn't easy for Joseph. I mean, his brothers completely disown him. He's thrown into slavery. He gets thrown into prison again, and bad things. But God uses him. He's able to forgive his family, and God used that situation to save the ancient Near East of a horrible famine in the land. God used him, raised him to a position of power. We looked at Daniel, where Daniel as a young man is stripped from his family and taken into Babylon. And yet he has courage and he has boldness and he's a witness to kings. And God used that situation. He used him. He used him. And one of the things that as I've been praying this week and thinking about this text and what to do, I want to talk a little bit more about where does that kind of faith come from? How do you get that kind of faith? Before we move on, I just feel like the Lord wants us to camp out here because there's a little more here. We could be here for a long time talking about this, but I just feel like the Lord's like, pause. Where does faith come from? How do we, when our world is shaken, our personal world is shaken, how do we get back up? Where does that kind of faith come from? I want to talk about that this morning. There are, every month when the Lord's Supper comes around, I like to frame that whole service in terms of the Lord's Supper. And as I was thinking through this service, I was like, wow, this really fits with the Lord's Supper. And where we're going next week fits with the Lord's Supper. And it being the season of Lent, we're going to take the Lord's Supper today, and we're also going to take it next week because it's a reminder for us that faith, our faith, isn't a person. Our faith isn't in what we do. It isn't in our behavior. It isn't in going to church. Our faith is in a person. And that's the first thing I want to talk about this morning. When we're going through heartache, where does faith come from? It's in a person. So Lord, as we talk about this today, Lord, this feels like a word from you. And Lord, I pray that you would comfort your people. Holy Spirit, come beyond the sacred page, beyond the songs that we sing, beyond a sermon, beyond a ritual, beyond just coming to church. Lord, I pray that we would encounter you. Lord, you are close to the brokenhearted, and you save the crushed in spirit. Lord, come, anoint me. I pray, God, this feels deep in my spirit, and I've had trouble writing it down. And Lord, I pray that what's in me would come out today by your Spirit, that you would give me the words to say, to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Anoint me and anoint us, Lord, anoint us. Anoint us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to frame it in terms of these disciples now are experiencing persecution. And it's really, I mean, can you imagine? Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. If worst case scenario would happen in the United States and all of a sudden, you know, they just start hating Christians and they start knocking on doors. They followed us on Facebook. They know, oh, you're a believer, and they just start coming and arresting us and throwing us all into prison. A lot of us are going to be afraid. A lot of us are, you know, but how do you prepare for that? You don't prepare for that when it's happening. You prepare for it hours, days, weeks, months, years. And Acts chapter 2, after Peter has preached, Holy Spirit is poured out, it says in Acts chapter 2 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. They devoted themselves. I did a little work on that word. They devoted themselves. It means to be committed to. It also means to mix, which is interesting. And they devoted themselves. We need to be a people who we devote ourselves to the very word of God. We need to mix it into our lives. We need to be in it. We need to encounter it, and we need to be in it. These new believers were devoted to the word. And again, Jesus came, and Jesus, it says that he taught different than the scribes and Pharisees. He taught as one who had authority. And oftentimes the disciples didn't get it, but now they get it. They understand. And we need to be men and women of the word. And we need to take it in and read it. And in John chapter 3, you know this story, very familiar to us. If you have your Bibles, flip over there. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can this be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we've seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things you did not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. We must be born again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And number one, how do we deal with God in the heartbreak? We need to have faith in the person of Jesus Christ. You have to be born again. And somewhere along the lines in the United States in Christianity, we have thought that if we come to the altar, we pray a prayer, we raise our hand, close our eyes, we make one decision, that is what it means to be born again. that's not true. That's not true. You have to believe in Jesus. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again. We need to take that in. And as we believe it and we invite Jesus in, we are born again. Something changes. That which our spirit is, has been dead, and it comes to life. And then we live by the Spirit. It's not just a one and done thing, a mental ascent, a decision. No, it's a yieldedness. It's believing in Jesus, and it's something happens in your heart when you believe that. And he comes in, the Holy Spirit, and he begins to transform your life. That which is dead is alive. You begin to hunger for the Word of God. You hear the Spirit of God, and it's living by the Spirit. Something, have you ever thought about what was going on when Jesus is calling the disciples, and Jesus says, follow me, follow me. And they left their nets, everything, and just followed him? It's profound. I would love to hear how Jesus said that. Was it a follow me? Was it a follow me? Follow me. What was his intonation in his voice? What was the volume of his voice? What was it, tender? Was it fiery? Was it compassionate? I don't know. But when Jesus said, follow me, whoa, they did. Everything. They left their father, James and John, it says they left their father Zebedee in the boat. They left their livelihood, and they followed after Jesus. To be born again means that we're following him. We're not living our own life anymore. We're yielded. We've laid down our life, and we're following him. When you're going through grief, when you're going through heartache, religion isn't going to cut it. Religion isn't going to comfort you. Going to church isn't going to comfort you. You need Jesus. You need the ministry of who he is. You need the Spirit to come alongside. So many people are trusting in what they do, and you can tell by how they act, sometimes months, years after someone dies. They can't get over it. When the unspeakable happens and we're crushed and we're shattered, that's when we need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I've been hearing a lot about you. I know some things about you, but wow, I really need to know right now that you're the resurrection and the life. I really need to know. When my mother died, or my mother was dying, and it was very, very clear, we contended for her, we prayed for her, and I was like, Lord, I know you can heal her. And we prayed. She lived 10 years with stage 4 cancer. So God gave her grace in that, and contended and prayed and prayed. And it was when it was clear that it was like, okay, I think this is it. She's going to die. I remember being in my bedroom, and Anastasia, my cat, she died a year ago, Christmas, like a year ago. But that cat, God gave me that cat. And it sounds a little silly for those of you who aren't for animal people, but I remember being on my bed and just weeping, Jesus, I can't live without my mother. What am I going to do? Because mom was my best friend. She was my best friend. I'm crying out to Jesus. Jesus, you have to help me. You have to. I can't do this. I can't walk through this. I can't do it. Crying out to him. And some of you have done that. You know what that's like. Crying out to him from the depths of who you are. Pain, grief. You know what that's like. And when I felt the Spirit of God say, April, Hebrews chapter 12, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. She's going to be in those great cloud of witnesses. I'm going to be with you. And she's up there in the great cloud of witnesses. And when I heard him, it was just a thought in my mind, but it was the Spirit of God. He spoke it. And when I heard him say it, there was just a peace that came. And when I opened my I'd gotten in a shelter about 9 months before, she was right there. She had a little paw. She was right there with me. And God will sometimes bring animals, people, or whatever, but God will comfort us in very unique ways. He'll do it through birds. He'll do it through creation because he's a creator, and he loves us, and he's our father. And that little cat loving on me, and then the Lord gave me 15 years with Anastasia, and I never knew a cat could be an emotional support animal, but God will bring us, and she really was. She really was. And so that's a little bit of a side note, but God gives unique gifts to us, and he'll comfort us in very unique ways. But I knew God. I knew him. But he took me to a deeper level of knowing him. Through the midst of great trauma, great pain, he came and he walked through that with me. And God wants to do that with each one of us. And our faith is in a person. It's the person of Jesus. He's alive and he's with us. And some people will have faith in faith. Well, I have faith that God's going to do that. I have faith. And that's good, because without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. But our faith isn't in faith. Our faith needs to be in a person, the person of Jesus, the person who loves you, the person who died for you. It's faith in a person. Some of us have faith in prayer. If we pray enough, oh, we got to call the prayer chain. We need to get everybody praying, and we have faith in prayer, and that's good. I love the scripture that was read today. The confession of Jesus. On this rock, on this confession, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this rock, on this confession, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatever you loose on earth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's amazing, you all. The power we have in prayer. The power we have in declaring things. And some of us need to be really careful in what we're speaking, because you're inadvertently speaking curses over your life. When I was really sick a couple years ago and thought, what's going on with my body? What is going on? I felt like I was losing my mind. I was in such brain fog and such, you know, and I would walk through the house and be like, good night, April. You're stupid. You're losing your friggin' mind. Like, what is going on? And inadvertently, I'm speaking curses over myself. And, you know, the Lord's been correcting me in that. And I'm so much better than I was. He's healing me. I'm so thankful for that. And I don't have the issues that I had a couple years ago. And I'm thankful for that. But you need to watch what you speak over yourself. Because when you say, I'm stupid, or I'm this, or, oh, I've always had this problem, and all of that, you know what? That's not speaking from a place of faith. It's speaking from the Word of God. What does God say about you? What does the Bible say about you? What does Jesus have to say about you? We must have faith in the person of Jesus. Not faith in faith, not even faith in prayer. But when we pray, we're praying to a person, Jesus, who loves you, who died for you, who's with you. And the disciples have faith in a person. It's Jesus. And they knew him, and they had encountered him, and they knew his teaching, and they knew his word. And when you're going through stuff and your world is shaken, what does the Bible have to say about that? And we have to get grounded and rooted in the Word of God. And the disciples had done that. They knew Jesus. And Jesus taught as one who had authority. When he's teaching his disciples in John chapter 13 through 15, some of the most intimate dialogue with scriptures. Jesus said in John, is it 13? I think he says it. He says, I'm going away, but I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. John 14, 18, I will come to you. John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit of God, when Jesus died and he rose again, and he said, wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit is poured out, these promises are fulfilled. There is an intimacy, a closeness that Jesus wants to have with us through his Spirit, that we don't begin to comprehend. And Jesus wants us to not only comprehend it, he wants us to feel it. Because his Spirit is the presence of Jesus with us. And when we make a commitment and we yield our lives to Jesus and we're born of the Spirit, it means the Spirit of God is within us. And the Spirit of God wants to talk to us. And he is talking to us all the time. But many of us, we hear the voice of the Spirit in our mind, but we think, well, that's just me. That's just, you know, and we don't listen to him. We don't listen to him. We're too busy to listen to him. We fill our mind up with other things. And we have to get quiet because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And he wants to communicate with us. And he is communicating with us. But we're not tuned in. Think of, and you don't, this day and age, AM, FM radios are kind of going by the wayside, aren't they? I used to listen to the Cardinals baseball games with my dad, be out in the garage cleaning fish, and we'd be listening to the ball game. And, you know, you don't listen to the radio much anymore. But to listen to the radio, you had to be tuned in to the right frequency, KMOX. You know, I'd turn on KMOX radio, and you know, you knew the dial, and you turn on the radio, and you turn the dial, and the broadcast would come in. We need to tune in. We need to turn our little radio stations. Lord, I want to tune into you. I'm going to tune out all the distractions. I'm going to turn everything off. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to be in nature. I'm going to, you know, whatever. Just get quiet, and you can hear the voice of God. He wants to communicate with you through his Spirit. And one of the ways he communicates through us, through his Spirit, is through the Word of God. If you're not daily in the Word, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you're not in the Word, you're probably going to be having a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, being really overwhelmed because you're not tuned in. And he wants us to tune in to his Word, through his Spirit. There's an intimacy there that the Lord wants to have with us. Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. God did not call them individually so that they could live their lives alone. God called them together, called them to be a body of believers. And God's called us into a family. When you're really suffering, when you're really hurting, you need other people. You need other people. You need a friend. Jesus is our friend. Holy Spirit is our friend. And that's good, but we also need other people. There are people when I'm really hurting, I'm like, man, you really need to pray for me right now. Pray for me. And there's that kind of, we need that from each other. Really interesting, in Romans, it says, if you confess your sins to one another, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The church, the body of Jesus Christ, needs to be a safe place where we can come together and we can pray together and we can share our deepest struggles with one another. Sadly, the church hasn't been a safe place like that. People come to church and they've been hurt, they've been wounded, they don't trust one another. That is not the church that Jesus died for. The church is to be a safe place. The church is to be a place of prayer, is to be a place where we can pray together and we can find safety, where we can be healed when we're hurting, when we're grieving, that you can come and people won't judge you or accuse you, but they will pray for you, lay their hands on you and pray for you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That is communion, to the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He knows how distracted we can get. and how our focus gets on other things. And he wants us to remember his body broken, that he loves us, that he's with us, his blood poured out. A lot of us suffer from condemnation and shame because we really can't receive what Jesus did for us. And when we remember his body broken and his blood poured out, we remember that we are not condemned, but that we are loved. And they devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, remembering Jesus, focused on Jesus. When you do that, can't hold on to bitterness. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. When you sit and you kneel and you fall down at the foot of the cross and you realize what your sin, rebellion did, what it cost Jesus, and you receive that forgiveness, you can't hold on to bitterness and shame because you've received it. And that's where we, church, we have to stay there. We have to get it. We have to be able to just receive that. We're going to take the Lord's Supper today. We're going to do it next week and just get it from here down into here. And they devoted themselves to prayers. In Exodus chapter 29, God lays down the law and he says there's going to be two sacrifices. There's going to be a morning sacrifice and there's going to be an evening sacrifice. And when you read the Psalms, it talks about the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. In Psalm 5, it says, Lord, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. And as the sun goes down at night, Lord, I'm going to remember your faithfulness. And when Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray, in Acts chapter 3, it's interesting. They were going up to pray. They were going up for the morning sacrifice. They were still in this rhythm of prayer. Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice. We would do well to incorporate that in our lives. In the morning, as the sun comes up, before you look at your phone, before you turn on the TV, go outside if it's too cold, or just say, Lord, I want to receive your love. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. And just be silent in prayer and let the Holy Spirit shed abroad the love of Jesus in your heart. Before you go to bed at night, turn everything off and recount what you're thankful for. Recount how God has been faithful to you. And let those patterns, those rhythms of prayer be part of your life. Jesus himself, the Son of God. What did he do? He went away to solitary places to pray. You would think of everybody that ever lived that Jesus wouldn't have to do that because he had it going on. And Jesus wasn't so busy running around doing everything. No, Jesus took time to pray. And if Jesus did that, how much more do we need to do that? Where is God in the heartbreak? Our faith is in Jesus. It's in a person. Read what he says in his word about himself, about you. Last week I said we need to draw the line in the sand and say, God, I trust you. I believe that you are good. I believe that you are love. I'm going to draw that line in the sand. How do you know that? Because you've been meditating and believing in God's word. I encourage you in any situation that you're going through, once you start praying, Lord, what does your word have to say about this? What do you say about it? What do you say? And as scriptures come to mind, as songs come to mind, and he'll sing to you, he'll give you songs in the night. If you're singing a song during the days, pay attention to that song. I mean, if it's Bon Jovi, kind of ignore it. But if it's a but if there's a song playing in your mind, sometimes that's the Spirit of God singing over you. And he's surrounding you with songs of deliverance. And he wants to minister to you. Let's have faith in Jesus. Not faith in faith or faith in a prayer. Faith in the very person of Jesus. He wants to walk alongside. There's an intimacy with Jesus walking by faith with bloody feet. Because sometimes when we walk through life, we're going to get bloodied. Life is hard. It feels like we're stepping on sharp glass because life is so hard and it hurts so bad. But as we're walking by faith, I want you to remember that Jesus has bloody feet. And he bled for you. And he died for you. And he loves you. And he wants to come alongside, as Pam said, there was one set of footprints in the sand. He wants to carry you and let him carry you. Let him hold you. Let him walk through life with you. Let him carry it. Let him. He's more kind. He's more gentle. He is more loving than we can even comprehend. But he's also more fiery and more, there's a fire about him. And there's a justice about him. And we tend to separate the two, but he's both. He's both. And he wants to walk through life with us. Will you yield? Will you let him? Will you let him? There's some of us today that we just need to remember who God is. We need to remember that he loves us. We need to remember that he's going to walk through life with us. I love a lot of things about being a Wesleyan. One of the things I love about it is John Wesley believed that when we take the Lord's Supper, that we can encounter Jesus in it. We can encounter him. Do you need that this morning? Do you need some peace? Do you need to just be reminded that you're loved? Do you need to be reminded that you're forgiven? Your shame, he bore it. He wants to make things new. We're going to remember that this morning and encounter him in it. John Wesley also believed the ministry and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we can have assurance of our salvation through the presence of the Spirit. And he wants to assure you. He wants to encourage you. There's a psalm, and then Jesus picked up on this. There's a psalm that says he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. And Jesus, after he rode into the donkey on, we call it now Palm Sunday, and he's grieving and he's weeping and he's mourning because he said, how I've longed, Jerusalem, to gather you under, like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me. And he's weeping because they would not come. Jesus wants you to come this morning, and he wants to hover over you. I see him right now with just like big feathers, and he just wants to envelop you with his love. He wants to encourage you with his presence. Will you let him do that? Let's be open. Father, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. Where are you in the heartbreak? We thank you, Jesus, that you're right there with us. As you wept with Mary when she said, Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus, you wept with her. Father, we are so there's a nearness and a closeness that you want to have with us, Lord, that we have not yet experienced. And Lord, I pray you'd make us hungry. I thank you, Father, for your presence. Where are the areas in your life that you need Jesus right now? Just silently tell him where you need him. Your heart hurting. Maybe you feel crushed. Maybe you feel far away from him. Tell him where you need him. Father, it says in your word that those who have been forgiven much love much. I pray for each one of us today, Lord, that we would stand at the foot of the cross and that we would see ourselves as you see us. Lord, that we would receive your forgiveness, the fullness of your forgiveness, where we've sinned, where we've fallen short. We would receive ourselves to prayer, morning and evening sacrifice, not as a form of bondage or religion, but Lord, because we love you. Because we love you. Tell him where you need him. Father, we thank you. And Lord, I pray as we go through the ritual now, that you would encounter us in the bread and in the wine. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with you. We lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name. Join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Christ Jesus, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your body broken. And Lord, we thank you for the life that you died to give us. Lord, so many of us are trying to live life on our own. We're trying to figure things out, and we're spinning like tops. And Lord, we need you. We need your life, Lord. If we are born again and we are born of the Spirit, we want to walk in the Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for your healing, healing of minds, healing of hearts, healing of souls. Lord, we thank you that your body was broken so that we could have wholeness, that you suffered the punishment that we deserve. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We thank you for your life. Father, forgive us for trying to figure things out. Forgive us for trying to do it all on our own strength. Lord, we repent of that. And Lord, we come to you and we trust you, your life in us. We thank you for the intimacy that you desire to have with each one of us through your Spirit. Take us there, Father. Take us there. We love you. We receive by faith now, Lord, your body broken. And everything that that means for each one of us, we thank you, Jesus. And we receive your body by faith in Jesus' name. Take, eat. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that forgives. The blood of Jesus that heals. That we are covered in the blood of Jesus. Lord, the thing that Peter said, who am I? Jesus asked him. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, you said on this rock, on this confession, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Teach us more of what that means, Jesus. We thank you for the power and the authority that we have in you. We thank you for your blood. Thank you for your forgiveness. We receive everything that you died to give us, Lord. Everything that your blood was shed for. Forgiveness. trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful. And Lord, I pray we would be good soil, that we would go forth in this world, Lord, and be your hands, your feet, Lord, to a lost and dying generation. Fill us up with your spirit. I thank you, God, that he that has started a good work in us will see it through to completion because you are faithful. Go in peace. In Jesus' name.